What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. All right, so over the weekend, Hamasians gathered on Moore Camp I and began camping, or tried to, on the Camp I. And in certain jurisdictions, law enforcement was not too happy with them acting to clear out the encampments on the Camp I. Arrests were made. Consequences became evident to people who have apparently lived their entire lives without any consequences. Hilarity ensued. Now, I have some audio. This comes to us from Emory. Is it university or college? I don't know. It's down in Atlanta area, right? And there was a professor who got herself arrested. And I have the audio. We'll take a listen to it. But it's kind of noisy. And so for radio purposes, you kind of lose, you know, some of the audio just kind of gets garbled and lost in a lot of the din. So, as I have been known to do over the years, I have enlisted some of the top men, in order to perform a theatrical reenactment of the professor's bust. So we'll be doing that in a few minutes. First, after a protest that lasted hours yesterday afternoon, students at the People's Republic of Chapel Hill re-erected tents that they had agreed to take down on Friday. This is an apparent violation of university policy. Now, I could have told you that the student protesters that have set up the camping tents, the pup tents, I could have told you that they were going to put them up after they told the administration that they were going to take them down. I could have told you that. You know why? Communists lie. Right, exactly. Communists lie. That you can't trust anything that commies say. So when they're like, yeah, we're totally going to take down the tents, I knew they weren't going to take down the tents, and if they did take them down, it would just be temporary. They'd put them back up. Lo and behold, they put them back up. Students started putting the tents back up, which had been dismantled and left flattened on Polk Place on campus just before 7 p.m. This followed hours of protests, as well as a march involving several hundred people through the main campus, during which student organizers called on UNC to disclose and divest from its, well, investments in Israel. Echoing similar protests that have astroturfed at, broken out at universities across the country. It is amazing how unified they all are on their messaging, isn't it? Completely grassroots. Speakers led the crowd. This is, by the way, a story that appeared in the McClatchy Papers, written by Avi Bajpai, who says speakers led the crowd in songs, prayers, and many different, oh, that was kind of hilarious. Have you seen these images of all these students on campus kneeling and praying to Mecca? These are not, and these kids are not all Muslims. It's all performance. Gosh, if you robbed leftists of the ability to perform in exaggeratively stupid ways, they would not be able to protest, I swear. Anyway, so they were singing songs, praying. And many, by the way, what would they do? I know I keep getting hung up on this prayer part, but can you imagine what it would look like if the students were praying to Christ, to God, in a Christian fashion, maybe quoting some Bible verses or something? Do you think there might be a bit of a different response from this crowd? No. And when it's Muslim, when it's Islam, it's okay. All right. Oh, and definitely not Jewish. You can use their music to dance to when you don't know it's Israeli technopop, but as we saw in one of the campus protests where they didn't even know that they were dancing to an Israeli performance, but whatever. They were also doing some chants, because what would a performative protest of the left be without the different chanting, including free, free Palestine, and from the river to the sea, and, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free of Jews, and Gaza, you are not alone, and globalize the Intifada. Now, there is no explanation of what these chants mean by the intrepid reporter here for McClatchy, because why would you need to know what these slogans mean? It's merely things that the kids are chanting, right, as they're taking over college campuses across the country, mainly up in the Northeast Acela Corridor, or Acela, I don't even know, how do you pronounce that train up there? It goes from, like, D.C. all the way up through Boston, right? That's where, like, that's where all of this stuff has erupted, mainly. I mean, there are some college campi, you know, around the country. They're also seeing some of this stuff, like Chapel Hill. But the vast majority of them are up in that Northeast quadrant. Anyway, no explanation of what globalize the Intifada might mean for readers who may not be familiar with the concept. The concept being blowing yourself up with bombings and killing as many innocent Jews as possible, right? The Intifada. Globalize that. That's what they're chanting. So what are they calling for? Attacks on Jews all over the world. Murder the Jews. Blow yourself up for Allah, right? You'll have a street named after you, maybe, in the West Bank. I don't know. Students at UNC began pitching tents on campus on Friday, creating a Gaza solidarity encampment. The organizers reached an agreement with UNC officials Friday afternoon to take down the poles of their tents, but left the flattened tents on the quad. So they left their tents laying down. They pulled the poles out. Wouldn't that kill the grass? Doesn't that kill the grass? Leaving plastic or poly, whatever it is, like laying on the grass over the course of the weekend, wouldn't that kill all the grass? What would your intersectional allies in the environmental movement think of you? Really, Palestinians? Come on now. Anyway, so these flattened tents remained on the quad during Sunday's rally until the commies broke their promise and came back to the scene of the flattened tents and stuck the poles through the little loops and eyelets and such, and then re-erected the tents. Students in many colleges, including UNC Charlotte, are protesting the ongoing Israel-Hamas war, which began October 7th. That's when Hamas, which has controlled the Gaza Strip since 2007, launched a terrorist attack that killed more than 1,200 Israeli civilians, with 240 hostages being taken. Since then, Israel has dropped thousands of bombs in Gaza. More than 32,000 Palestinians have been killed since October, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, which, of course, is a bunch of crap. The numbers from Hamas, which is the Gaza Health Ministry, it is Hamas, which we all know, but apparently McClatchy doesn't feel it necessary to tell you that this is Hamas telling you what the death count is. And by the way, the independent analysis of their 32,000 figure has shown that it's crap. The reporting that they are doing has become, they keep changing how they collect the data, and they're just winging it. And when you look at, like, the probability of the numbers that they have been reporting, it is quite literally mathematically impossible for the numbers to be what they are. So I will tell you that because McClatchy did not. Up next, a theatrical reading of College Prof Bust. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com, or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies, as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? The Pete Callender Show Players proudly presents the busted Pally Prof. Playing the role of Caroline Folan, noted thespian John Moore.
Hello.
Playing the role of the protester man, introducing Tommy Freidenberg. Our tale begins with a keffiyeh-clad crybully on the ground being handcuffed. Enter Caroline Folan screaming at the police.
What are you doing? Stop it!
She lightly taps an arresting officer in the head from behind. Another officer sees this and grabs her arm. Ma'am, get on the grass! She resists by pulling her arm away and backing away. Ma'am, get on the ground! She continues resisting. He takes her to the ground.
You people are fascists! You are Hitler! Rabid dogs! Shame on you! May you never live another day!
I am a professor!
You ain't a cop!
This woman is a professor, everyone!
I am a professor of economics!
You rabid dogs! You are fascists!
F-O-H-L-I-N! Carolyn! I reacted impulsively, I apologize!
No, no, no! You are right to fight this! I'm going to share this!
Please remove the handcuffs!
This has been a presentation of the Pete Callender Show Players. The busted Pally Prof. Noted thespian John Moore playing the role of Caroline Folan. And introducing Tommy Freidenberg playing the role of Protester Man.
Thank you. Thank you. Well done, John Moore.
Very good, Tommy.
Some people might think, why were we doing this silliness? Oh, there is a perp walk. But we were doing this because the crowd noise is pretty bad. And so you might not be able to hear all of the exchange. But here is the original, because that's just the remake we did. You always got to, you know, you got to hear the original. So here it is.
Get on the grass.
Oh my God.
Takes her to the ground.
Oh my God.
Give me some cops. My head. Oh my God.
You people are fascists. You are Hitler. You are a happy dog. Shame on you. May you never live another day.
It was a peaceful protest until they started fighting troopers.
L-I-N. I reacted impulsively. I apologize.
No, you're right. It's my turn now. I'm going to share this.
Please remove the handcuffs.
All right, so the protester man screaming at the cops that they're fascists. He's videotaping the whole thing, and this is now one of the things that they do is they stick their, the protesters stick their cameras in the face of the people getting arrested, and they pull their masks off, and they get them to spell their names so this way they can blast it out, like, to make sure that we know who you are. We see you. We hear you. That sort of thing. So the professor is now spelling her name so they'll be able to, like, bail her out, and then she's like, oh, okay. Okay, I acted impulsively. Please remove the handcuffs. Like, yeah, that's not happening. And then, just to make sure, on her walk to the cruiser,
I impulsively hit him on the head very lightly to get his attention. And they grabbed me, threw me to the ground, and arrested me.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear what she said there?
I impulsively hit him on the head very lightly to get his attention. And
I impulsively hit him on the head very lightly to get his attention. This is the cop that was cuffing the keffiyeh-clad moonbat. Yeah, she hit a cop on the back of his head. The other cop saw her do it, went over to her and said, get on the ground, you're under arrest. And she resisted. She did not want to be arrested. As this may come as a shock, a lot of people who end up getting arrested don't actually want to be arrested. She refused to get on the ground. thinking that she would just talk her way out of it. And when she eventually got taken down to the ground and cuffed, she's screaming, "I'm a professor of economics," as if that is the shield required. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, this is a professor. Oh, that's our bad. Please, please go and resume hitting cops on the back of their head as they are arresting people. That was totally our fault. We did not know you were a professor because you're wearing a T-shirt and sweatpants. Literally. That's what she came out in. All right, so you've heard me talk about how the, and this is James Lindsay's observation. I keep referencing it because once you know this, it's sort of, this is the key that unlocks all of this stuff for analysis, which is the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. And they just kind of swap different issues to cover what is actually a Marxist revolutionary idea that is at the heart of all of these protests, whether it's George Floyd, the transgender stuff, the Cop City stuff, the Antifa, Occupy, whatever. It's always the same thing, right? And you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe James Lindsay. Here is a speaker at George Washington University yesterday. Let me see here. Hang on. I'm on the wrong thing. There we go.
This wretched system. There's only one way. Just like that chant that we enjoy so much, there was only one solution. Intifada, revolution. We must have revolution so we can have a socialist reconstruction of the United States of America.
George Washington University. There's only one solution, Intifada revolution. We must have a revolution so we can have a socialist reconstruction of the United States of America. And the reaction from the crowd tells you everything you need to know about what ideology binds these people together. This is intersectionality, right? Oh, I do find it funny that the watermelon has become the emoji, has become the symbol of the Palestinians. Have you seen this? Have you seen social media images or video, you know, of posters and stuff, and you've seen these little slices of watermelon, and you're thinking, what the heck is that about? It goes back, like, I don't know, 7-8 years or something, and it had something to do with some images about, you know, people in the marketplaces in Gaza, wherever, it doesn't matter. That's their symbol. But I find it to be comical because the watermelon is the symbol for the environmentalists. I mean, they haven't adopted it, but it is green on the outside, red on the inside. Right? Scratch an environmentalist and you're going to find a Marxist underneath. That's usually how that goes. And that is, quote, intersectionality. You've got all of these different disparate issues that are out there, but we intersect in identifying the true oppressor. Our common oppressor is capitalism. That's the true oppressor, right? And whoever's doing well in those systems, they are the ones that need to be thrown off. So here is the here's another quote, and he's got a bunch, but I know the audio is kind of bad because it's heard over the. It's just recorded from a phone off of a loudspeaker at a crowd, so the audio is kind of difficult to hear. But, okay, here's another clip from this guy again, George Washington University.
And once we understand that imperialism is the highest stage of capitalism and that the police as an institution exists to be in service to capital, it becomes clear that if we want to bring it in to police terror in all of its forms,
there you go. See, if you want to bring an end to all of these things, then the answer is to bring an end to the capitalist imperialist system. Because that's the root of all of this. And the crowd erupts in applause. He says, we want to smash the Democratic Party. And the audience was kind of like, I heard a couple boos in there. And then he says, we want to smash the Republican Party. And everybody goes crazy. We want to smash this whole GD capitalist imperialist empire. He says, America is the biggest settler colony in the world. And if you think you're going to liberate Palestine and leave this monster intact, I've got news for you. Capitalism and imperialism is based right here, and it must come down right here. I think I found the insurrection, guys. I think I found it. Yeah. There's only one solution, Intifada Revolution, the shaking off in the Arabic, right? We've got to have a socialist reconstruction of the United States of America. If we want to end police terror, bring an end to imperialism, we have to bring an end to the capitalist system that gave birth to them both. Right? They are telling you who they are and what they believe. All right, let's go over and we'll talk to Bill. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Pete. How are you?
Hey, I am well, Bill. How are you?
I am a 44-year listener, and I'm a Democrat. There aren't many of us listening to you like that.
Okay.
The reason I phoned is that I think one of the techniques that you and other folks like Brett Winnable employ that I think are pretty effective is to take that Marxist, for example, that you heard that you played, mm-hmm. and he is a Marxist and says things that I do not believe in at all, and then casts every Democrat as someone who is like him.
I didn't cast all the Democrats like him. I cast the protesters like him because they roared in support when he said it.
But I think recognizing that there's a huge swath of Democrats who disagree with that, and if I picked up the phone and called you and said, it's nice to speak to an orange-headed porn star chasing white supremacist, mm-hmm. you would take offense to that, and you should.
Right.
Because not every Republican is an orange-headed porn star chasing white supremacist.
Yeah. Bill,
so I think that putting us all in the same bucket is
Bill,
irritating,
which
because
is,
we're not
I didn't
all,
do that, Bill. All right. I know you have your point that you want to really make, but your point is invalid because I did not say that. I said it about all of the protesters who roared in support of the Marxist on the stage. Hence, I called them Marxists. All right. Let's go over and talk with Congressman Dan Bishop. He is running for North Carolina Attorney General as well. And Dan, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Pete. Afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. So have you been following all of the, I want to be very clear, the Marxists on the campus that are protesting, now they're at Chapel Hill, they're setting up tents and such. So do you feel confident that these people have some degree of Marxism going through their ideological veins?
I think your analysis, I've heard a number of times, Pete, you've covered it, that you and I both are interested followers of James Lindsay and the analysis he has given of critical race theory, all the other forms of critical theory, and how it all really goes back to Hegelian dialectics, essentially proto-Marxism, and that, as you put, I think you're absolutely right, the issue is never the issue. That's why you see these odd bedfellows coming together. It is a cultural Marxist movement in its essence. And yeah, I don't think there's any real debate about that. That's the only way you can explain why LGBTQ protesters come together with pro-Hamas protesters, and there's always a desire to be as disruptive and damaging. Think about the building at Emory University where they went inside and painted up the wall or graffitied up the walls. So yeah, I think that's what we're seeing. It's classic proto-Marxism.
The protesters at Emory, you just mentioned in a post on Instagram, said they want total divestment from Israeli apartheid and Cop City. Cop City, so now Gaza and Israel and Hamas, like now Cop City is part of this as well, which kind of gives away the game. And to caller Bill's criticism of me moments ago that I somehow lump all Democrats into this, I've been very clear. I thought that hashtag not all Democrats. In fact, John Fetterman, who would have thought? John Fetterman.
Totally.
Right? He is constantly picking fights with these pro-Hamas Marxists. And so obviously not all of the Democrats. I'm sure you encounter many of your colleagues that are not on board with what they're seeing.
I do. I will say there are a lot of folks who don't act that way at all. There is this pretty strong divide. And I will say, I do think a substantial part of the Democratic Party has been consumed by this movement toward cultural Marxism. There is no longer sort of a shared consensus in a big way on between the two major parties on big ideas, classical liberal ideas. And you do see more and more of the energy in the Democratic Party that people see manifested on the college campuses. It's just let me make that clearer. Manifested in things like these sort of shocking pro-Hamas, violence-provoking, put the tents down and take over and trespass, graffiti on the walls, that kind of activity. And I would think it's time for sort of a DLC moment, you know, a centrist in the Democratic Party to say, this isn't us.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't hear that very much, Pete, but I think it needs to exist.
Yeah. Yeah, like the sister soldier moment, right, that Bill Clinton had or whatever, like in the Bill Clinton administration. Like that's, and my fear is that there aren't enough, I don't want to call them moderate Democrats, but I think they're afraid. I think, and this is Dennis Prager has talked about this, that conservatives vote their principles, progressives vote their principles, but liberals do not. They vote for progressives because they don't want to admit that they're closer actually to conservatives than they want to acknowledge. And it makes them feel icky and, oh, I don't agree with them. They're the bad people, you know? And so they go along with these progressives and they go right off a cliff with them. And I don't know
That's
if we can
true.
Count on them. Yeah, I don't know if we can count on them to help push back on this stuff.
And there's a point there, Pete. Yeah, I listened with interest. I had a long time in the car over this weekend going all over North Carolina speaking to audiences. And I listened to what you did. I was a United Methodist for 27 years, and I'm not any longer. But you gave this fantastic analysis of the General Conference coming to Charlotte, and you put it that way. The centrists do not vote their principles, and so you see the destruction of institution after institution. I really do think it is. I mean, I haven't been a Democrat, I don't. They haven't agreed with general principles of the party, and I'm probably no one to advise them, and I'm sure somebody could be listening out there thinking, well, to diagnose the problems in the Republican Party, they exist as well. But I do think that's right. It's time for someone, some statesperson, to stand up and bring the party back to consensus foundational American ideals.
Yeah, and I think the tell is that they never, like in the United Methodist, for example, they did not start their own church. They were given the opportunity to do so, to take their stuff, to take their property and disaffiliate, and they did not. They refused. They want the institution. That's the point.
It's almost as if there's a death wish. I mean, they want it. You have to see where it's headed. There seems to be a wish for it to die, and yes, and for something else to spring out from it again. Classic Gramscian cultural Marxism.
Congressman Dan Bishop, thanks again for your time, sir. Always appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, man. See ya. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.